This is most certainly true. In the greatest act of selfless mercy, God sent his own son into our world to die for your sins. And we can't stop talking about it. We now present this sermon, recently delivered at Grace, to you.
Through his inspired apostle Peter, the Lord invites God's people to see him as the place for unloading their anxious hearts and minds, because he cares for us. A reading from the Apostle Peter's first letter, chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
A famous musician had some time to kill before her evening concert. And she thought it might be a good idea to go out on the town to get a feel for a city she'd never been in before, to sample for lunch some local cuisine. And so she gathered up her belongings, her purse, her cell phone, her sunglasses, and lastly, she informed her two bodyguards of what her intentions were. And they snapped right to action, led her down the hallway, peering into every open door to scout out for danger. They made her safe as she made her way down the stairs. They flanked her on the sidewalk as she walked. When she made it to a shop or a restaurant, one went in before and the other followed in after. When she was recognized and a crowd began to gather, it was the bodyguards who were in charge of seeing that that whole situation stayed under control so that nothing could happen that would hurt her. It's a good thing to be at the side of someone who is strong. The Apostle Peter wanted to share that exact encouragement with his Christian friends, friends who were scattered throughout the countryside of the territory that we know of today as modern-day Turkey. That was his desire, that was his intention. And by God's grace, we get the opportunity to jump in and join along. By God's grace, we have the privilege of being able to see those same words and gain those same encouragements. And so as we focus our attention on today's second reading, let's rejoice with Peter and with his friends that we are safe in the strength of our Savior God. Peter's first letter was written to people who were suffering, Christian people who had hardships and trials in their lives. Do you know anyone like that? Peter wanted to ensure that they knew what to do with their trials. They knew what to do with their struggles and their suffering. And so he wrote this letter to encourage them to have hope. They were leading pretty difficult lives. In addition to the physical hardships of living life in a first century world, they had plenty of spiritual hardships as well. They were strangers, Peter told us, living as minorities, as Christians living in a pagan world, and not everyone was super thrilled about it. They were ridiculed as a result. Some of them were mistreated. Others were forced to move, to pick up stakes and move their family to a different place where it might be safer. All of them faced temptation. Temptation to keep their faith lives secret and ensure that no one else could know. They were bombarded with questions. Who do we trust? Is it safe? Is someone coming after me today? When is the enemy going to attack? They were filled with doubts. Doubts as to whether or not it was the wisest course of action to even be a Christian or live a faith life at all. They had worries about when and from where the next attack might come. They had concerns. If it's this hard, if it's this difficult living as a Christian in this generation, what about the next? What is it going to be like for my children? You are living 20 centuries later. But does any of this sound familiar to you? Does any of this hit home into the thoughts of your heart? Does some of this sound like your life? I bet it does. Because it sounds like mine too. And that means that the Apostle Peter writes these words to people just like us, to people in situations just like us. He speaks these words of hope. Let's hear the encouragement that Peter has to offer us. He begins our reading, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." At first hearing, this might sound a little bit perplexing. Really, Peter, is that the best you have to offer for someone who's hurting? Humble yourself? To someone who's beaten down and downtrodden, your advice is just make yourself a little bit lower. That's precisely the encouragement that Peter offers, and here's why. When people are suffering, there's a couple of different avenues that they can take. One of those avenues is despair. My life is so miserable, and I don't know if God even knows or cares. Why bother even trying? Maybe it's time just to throw in the towel. Some people take the opposite path away from suffering, the path of pride. If I just get enough strength, if I just can get clever enough or wise enough to figure my way out of this mess, then I can overcome this suffering that I'm enduring. If the people on both of those wrong paths that Peter issues this encouragement, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. God is in control of your life. When life is going well and when it's going far from well, when life is easy and when it's hard, God is in control. He's on the throne no matter what, and he hasn't forgotten you. In his perfect way and in his perfect timing, God will lift you up. His mighty hand is strong enough to lift you up from whatever pit it is that you find yourself. And he promises he will do just that. And so we can humble ourselves. We can humbly trust the promises of God. We can acknowledge that he knows what's best in our lives. And we can pray that he offer us the strength and the patience and the peace that we need to wait on his timing. God never says that it's going to be easy. In fact, he says quite the opposite. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The devil is mighty, and he's on the prowl. He's not a stationary target that launches boring, old, familiar, predictable attacks. He's not one that stays in the same place, so all we have to do is walk on the other side and then we'll be fine. No, he's prowling around, hurling his attacks from this place and then from that, launching his surprise tactics. He's on the hunt, looking for another soul to snatch. If you're at the zoo and you're going to visit the lion exhibit, there have been precautions and safeguards put in place to keep the general public safe from a wild animal like a lion. If you're on the inside, there's a glass enclosure that goes from ceiling to floor. It's impenetrable. There's no way anyone's getting in or coming out through the glass. If you're on the outside, there are other safeguards in place. There's lots of distance, for one. There's a giant pit that's in the middle. Sometimes it's filled with water. There's an unscalable wall and then a railing up on the top. You're pretty safe going to visit the lions. I wouldn't recommend anyone be worried about something like that. In that kind of setting and scenario, behind those kinds of safeguards, it would be okay to let your guard down. It would be all right to answer a text message if one came in, to turn your back, to have a conversation with someone else, to let your mind wander to the rest of the tasks of the day. I don't see any problem with any of those things. But what if you were the zookeeper? What if your everyday job required that you have close interaction with the lion? Then my recommendation to you might be something a little bit different. What are the consequences there if you turn your back on an uncaged lion? What are the consequences if you let your mind wander to unimportant things, if you treat the protocol as if it's trivial? What happens there if you're not observant or careless, or your mind begins to wander? The consequences there could be devastating. In our lives here on earth, in this sinful place, we come into contact with a prowling lion looking for someone to devour, and that's why the Apostle Peter encourages us, be alert and of sober mind. The devil is real and his intentions are sinister. He wants to devour you. He wants to chew you up and spit you out. Don't let him. Don't make yourselves to be easy prey. Don't put yourself in a place where his temptations can be hurled in your way. Don't make yourself needlessly weak or vulnerable. Be alert. Be of sober mind. The devil is mighty. Never forget that. But also something never to forget, even more so. As strong as the devil is, your God is stronger. You are safe in the strength of your Savior God. It's one thing for a person to be strong, but how they use that power makes all the difference in the world. There are plenty of people in this world who would love to use their power to do you harm, and if they were given an opportunity, that's exactly what they would do. There are even more people who are so self-consumed that they'll use their power for their own gratification, and if it happens to rub off and cause you pain, they wouldn't even be aware that that was happening. But what a difference it makes when the opposite is true. When someone uses their power to help you. The stranger in the grocery store parking lot who sees your hood on your car up and knows you're having trouble, and they come walking across the lot with their jumper cables asking if you need some help. Your neighbor that walks across the street with the exact power tool that you need to finish that project. You know that now the project will be done quickly and correctly, and it's going to turn out the way you want it. It's a wonderful blessing when someone uses power to show you kindness. Our God has the power. And how he uses that power makes all the difference in the world for us, and even farther than that. Our God has not just power, but love. That's why the Apostle Peter can say to us, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. We can cast our burdens and our pains, our suffering and our struggles, we can cast them on Jesus, and he receives them. We can hoist our sins upon him, and he willingly carries them away from us as far as the east is from the west. He willingly carries them to the only place where they could be paid for. He takes them to a cross, and there he suffers and dies. We can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. He cares for us enough. He loves us enough that he was willing to die so that we could have life eternal at his side. And yet the devil still roars. He knows that he's defeated, but he roars with his lies and with his accusations. He knows he can't defeat Jesus any longer, and so he comes after us. He roars with his deceptions. He roars with his accusations. He wants nothing more than for us to be blinded to Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. He wants nothing more than for us to believe that what Jesus has done for us couldn't possibly be for someone like me. He spews his evil lies. Your sufferings are because you're a bad person. Your pains are because you're a failure. If you could do something right for once, then maybe God would make your life a little bit easier. There's no hope for you because you're the only one. You're the only one whose life is messed up as badly as yours is. Why would you even think that there might be hope? But it's to those roaring lies of the devil that Peter roars back with gospel comfort. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You have a host of brothers and sisters who have gone through the same experiences or are currently going through them. And that's great news. It's great news for us to know that the brothers and sisters here are suffering, not because misery loves company, but it's great news because it means that there are people out there who know our experiences, who can sympathize with our weaknesses, who understand our emotions. There are brothers and sisters who care about you deeply, who are longing to support you, eager to encourage you, and point you to Christ Jesus, your strength. And another opportunity that our God gives as we face trials in this world, he gives us this blessed opportunity to one day be on the other side. Someday we'll meet someone here at church or in our lives. Someday we'll meet someone going through the same struggles, having the same doubts and questions and fears that we once had. And now we can be the one to give them the encouragement that just they needed. What a blessed joy that we can be a family of believers, that we can be supported by one another even as we support each other too. God gives us an opportunity to wrap hurting people in his love. That's what Peter does for us, and that's what he encourages us to do for one another. Look at the way he does it in just one verse. In verse 10, the Apostle Peter shows us the love that God has for us, even in the way he constructs that statement. He talks about the very real situation called suffering, but he doesn't do it without wrapping it literally before and after in the love of Jesus, thereby wrapping that suffering and, more importantly, the sufferer in the love of Christ. Here's what I'm talking about. Peter says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Ours is the God of all grace. Not the God of a few nice sayings, not the God of some nice gestures. He is the God of all grace. And the greatest of undeserved love that our God has shown to us all is that he has forgiven our sins and given us a promise of everlasting life with him. God himself will restore us and make us strong. We are safe in the strength of our Savior God. Do you find it interesting that the guy speaking to us here, the Apostle Peter, he's the very one, the one who says, be humble, is the one who is arrogant enough to tell Jesus, even if all fall away on account of me, I never will. The one who says, resist temptation, he's the one who called down curses on himself. I never knew this Jesus. The one who commands you to be alert is the one who fell asleep on Jesus twice in the Garden of Gethsemane. The one who says, stand firm, didn't make it two steps out into the water before he sank to the bottom of the sea. That's the one we're supposed to listen to. That's the Peter who's going to give us advice. Absolutely. Peter is well suited and perfectly placed to be the one to give us these words of comfort and encouragement, because all of the promises that he displays are promises that he received firsthand. The powerful hand of Jesus reached down literally to pull Peter off the bottom of the sea, and even more powerfully to pull him from sin and death. Yes, Peter denied Jesus, but it was the risen Christ who came one-on-one privately with his dear friend and announced to him restoration and hope, so that Peter would know that even he was forgiven. Peter was a weak and frail person just like us, but Jesus wrapped him in his love, promised to never let go. With Jesus at our side, we are safe in the strength of our Savior God. It's one thing to know that our God has power, but it's out of this world fantastic to know that he has power and love. That is a source for us of unending hope. That is enough reason for us to join Peter and believers throughout the ages, using Peter's words to proclaim praises to his God and ours. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen. Please stand.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support this ministry, please visit gracedowntown.org today. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.